Lady Shirin Chavis Halvava Sunday afternoon, Shirin Cheshman HaNevesh, Shvat, Yudches Shvat. Okay, we're doing Chavis Halvava, Shirin Cheshman HaNevesh. We're at the end of the 12th Cheshman, the 12th thing to think about, and that's working on improving our neshamas as much as we. Number 12 isn't to work on your neshama. Number 12 is to think about why aren't we working on our neshama as much as we work on our guf. And if we hear about a sale, or a person hears how he can improve at work, or there's a class teaching a kind of exercise, and a class teaching this, and a class teaching that, so it's all wonderful, but we should at least run at least as fast to classes that improve your neshama, which is Nitzchias, and then he goes on to say how temporal the world is, and how things we think we're gaining could be lost so easily, and who says you'll even be successful. But in Ruchnius, it's already success. If you put in the effort sincerely, that's already success, even if for whatever reason you don't succeed. We're at the end of number 12, at the end of number 12, and I have a paragraph that starts with the word "ve'ei ochi," my brother. See, ma ben shnei hadvarim. Look how you have to compare things that are physical, things that are of olam hazeh, and olam haba, spiritual things. Ma ben shnei onyonim, and how there's such a difference between the two. Unetei. Leave off mimosro salamcha. Now, he doesn't expect a person to right away jump to the highest madrega of precious, which is only to take what you need from this world. But he means, you know, don't go off into mosro, meaning you keep adding and adding and adding and adding. No, and then it just gets, it runs away from you, and you don't even stop to think if you really need it or not. Work hard on what you need for what's going to be there after 80, 90, 100, 110, 120 more years, and that's going to be for. And then he says something interesting, which he really develops in the next cheshbon. He says, "V'al tomar yimtzaeini mashi yimtzaksil." Why do I have to worry about what's going to be in olam haba? I'm looking around, all these nice people here, wonderful people. Call yourself the Yeshlem Chelik Olam Haba. I'm no worse than they are. So why do I have to? It's like saying someone, if you say to someone, why don't you exercise more and you'll be healthier? She says, I don't know, I'm looking around at all these people that don't exercise and they're pretty healthy. So, Enochanami, I won't be a Madrega higher than them. But I'll be like them, you know. So in Ruchnius also, he's saying, someone says, I don't know, I look around all these people davening. I'll daven like that also. They daven, I daven. They learn, I learn. They do some chesed, I do some chesed. So why should I exert myself? I'm okay. You're nice people here. I'm willing to share, to be in their room in Gan Eden, says the Chavis Halvav, which is insidiously what we think many times. Like, you know, I'm no worse than the other guy. What do I have to strain myself for? So he says, that's a very, very powerful, powerful statement. A person, it works both, it cuts both ways. When you, the scale in Shemayim doesn't compare you to other people. It's Hashem doesn't mark on a curve. Is that the word, right? A teacher marks on a curve. Hashem doesn't mark on a curve. Now this works both ways. If you feel you haven't accomplished anything in life, but for all you know, if you are doing, you know, your best to be misakin yamidos, and you're keeping the halachas to the best of your ability, you're asking a shayla, where is a shayla, and Hashem gave you whatever gifts, whatever qualities he gave you, so there's no reason to feel inferior to anyone else. When you come to Shemayim, you're going to be in the highest madrega. Hashem judges you based on what you are, based on the gifts that He gave you, based on the life that He gave you. How did you react to things? So it's absurd to compare it, but here his point is it cuts the other way. That you go to Shemayim and you say, well, I'm as learned as that person, I'm as kind as that person, I'm as merciful as that person, I'm as nice as that person, so I don't care, says Hashem. I'm not interested in that person. I'm interested in you and how much you developed and how much you grew and how much you stagged. And I don't want to hear about other people. We're not comparing people. He develops that in the next cheshbon a bit more. Here he just says, as an answer to people who will resist growing, improving the neshamas, so they'll say, what for? So tell them, there is what for. Atonitva, it's going to be demanded of you, kfi hakaroscha, according to your understanding. So if you're able to do more, you understand more in depth, you come to Chavis Halvavus Shirim, so now, maybe I'd better off staying home. Because now you know more, so you have to perform more. For Anshecha Yoser Chazak, very, very strong words. Behacheshbon al his almuscha, and the cheshbon you'll have to give for ignoring the things you know and not living up to the things you know and not living up to the kochos that Hashem gave you. Yoser Meduktak, Hashem marks stricter if you're capable of more. Don't say I'll be like everyone else. That is not a schus. That doesn't cut it. It doesn't cut it. You know, don't rely on something that's bechlal, not a schus. It doesn't count for anything. Not it counts for a little. It doesn't count for anything. Sanuach daitcha el taino shehi olecha v'lo loch. And you'll end up relying on a taino which is something the prosecuting attorney will use, not something the defense attorney will use. It means you're feeding ammunition to the prosecuting attorney. The prosecuting attorney is going to say, look, he was like everyone else. But look how much more he could have been and how much more he could have done. So you think you're taking refuge by, you know, you're calm, you look around, and you say, okay, I'll be like everyone else. Right? But that doesn't work. Not only doesn't it work, but it's a terrible taina against you. Again, it works both ways. It works to uplift those who feel that they can never become what they see other people reaching. But if they have limited kochos, so they shouldn't feel bad. They have to reach what they can reach, and they should look at other people. The others here is talking the other way. Because he's talking about improvement. And this is definitely a Yetzirah that talks against improvement. Why should I work hard at my davening? Everybody else, come on. Obviously, if you had to work on davening, everybody else would be working on it. And people would be davening differently. And I see everyone davening. We're davening in the same room for 8 years, and everybody's davening the same. And I don't see any difference.
How does this fit in with Chavis Tefillah for sure?
I don't understand.
She asked for he should be a man among men like other men.
He shouldn't stand out. He shouldn't stand out.
Should
he shouldn't stand in the eyes of Hashem. He should stand out. Believe me, she didn't ask for Zera Anoshim. She asked, and she got Moshe v'Aaron b'Chohana v'Shmuel b'Korei Shmo. She got someone that very definitely stood out in the eyes of Hashem. She doesn't want someone that stands out in the eyes of people. And anyway, and that's first of all. Second of all, she meant ostentatiously. Obviously, Shmuel, after he grew into his role as a shofet and as a navi, so everybody knew, oh, here comes Shmuel. They stood up for him and he walked into a room. So that she didn't get her wish. It meant ostentatiously in a way that's not deserved, in a way that's, you know, or maybe in a way that people would respect him for gifts that he didn't earn. If people respect someone for being smart, but you know the cleverness and the intelligence he didn't develop, that's God's gift to him. So she doesn't want him to stand out in that way. So all the both things are true. If I really take this to the nth degree, talking about how a person should strive to improve his neshama as much as he strives to improve his standard of living and his wardrobe and his friends and his social circles, I'll never get to number 13. It's enough to hear from me a few points I made, maybe I woke you up, and I taught you a little, and now you got to take the, he says this a few times, many times throughout the Sefer, that what he wrote here is just a little, and now you have to take it and take it further, and think about it, and think about your own life, and think about how it applies to your own life, and think about the people it applies to, and how it applies to you, and in what areas. He wants to stimulate people to think. That's the bottom line. Histakel devarai, look into my words. V'havein remizosai, understand what I alluded to. Sometimes Chavidat Lovitz doesn't say anything, doesn't say something explicitly. He just alludes to it. V'chakor aleihem, and see if I'm right. V'sefer Elokim in Torah. The Dibur Rebel Seinu Zuchonim Lebracha, and in the Mishnah in Gemara. This idea of self-improvement of the soul, the yeroi lecha birurim, and you'll get clarity about it. Mina kosov, mina muskol, mina mekubal. Those are the three legs that everything stands on in the Sefer Chavos Halvados. He wrote about this in the Hagdama. Usually, he puts muskol first, logic. Usually, he puts that first. I don't know. I don't have a pshat why he put it here second. Mina kosov is Torah shebiksav, mina muskol is logic and common sense. And umin mekubal is Torah Shabbal Peh, what he calls Mesoris. Okay, number 13. So should we go over the first 12? I wrote it down. I'm not so smart. So I have it written in front of me. So that's why I could rattle it off. Right? Thanking Hashem for various things is numbers 1, 2, and 3, and 4. 5 is to delve into Torah or anything in Judaism and understand it properly. 6 is, here's an area where you should say we're no worse. Say we're no worse than other forces in creation. That dosim b'yemo ritzon konam, sosim usmeichim la sosim son konam. Right, and the malachim, everybody's running to do the rotzon Hashem. Why should I be different? How can I be different? Number 7 is to think about if I'm really acting towards Hashem as an eved would act towards a master, whose eved's completely dependent on the master. Number 8 is the two forms of Yichud Hashem. We talked about that. And 9 was that you have to do mitzvahs properly. You can't cut corners and do it half-heartedly or without a simcha or even in the halacha angle to cut corners. So you have to do mitzvahs properly. The melech gave a charge and you're gonna have to give a din v'cheshbon how you carried out your charge. That was number 9. Number 10 was that Hashem is watching you. Very scary proposition, but he is. Doesn't do good to run away from these things. They're the reality. So it doesn't do any good. It's still the reality if you run away. Like if you close your eyes, the monster does not go away. So here he says, Hashem is watching you, and then he points out Hashem is watching and aware of your motivations, your thoughts, your motivations, your reasons for doing things. It's not just the psychiatrist or the therapist on the couch that will make you, maybe that person, whether it's a he or she, will help you realize why you're doing things. You say, well, I never realized that's my motivation, but Hashem knows what your motivation is. Whether you're responsible for a subconscious motivation, that we don't know. That's up to Hashem. I can't answer that. If it's something you could have thought about, why am I treating people this way? It's really not nice. Let me think about why am I treating my spouse this way, you know? And then you start thinking about how people, sometimes it's a reflection of how they saw their parents. So you have to catch the source, you have to think about it. So whether you'll be punished for not realizing it, that's up to Hashem. Hashem knows whether you could have been omed on it or not. But the point is, the point of the cheshbon is that that really yira, that Hashem not only sees everything you do, but he looks into your heart and soul and sees your motivation and why you're doing this. What's motivating you? Motivating me? I want to be popular. I go, why you, you know. Okay, so that was number, what did I say? That was number 10. Number 11 was the more common meaning of Cheshbon HaNefesh, to think about how I spent the last day, I can think about how I spent the last Shabbos, how I spent the last week, how I spent the last month. We have Yom Kippur Cotton, you're supposed to think how you spent the last month. How the virus is shown, you know, how I spent the last year. So you can't even think more than a week ago. So I think I mentioned once, we put out a family newsletter. So that we mail it out every Friday, and everybody reads what's going on in everybody else's life, except for the parts they don't want to tell. But you look back, now everyone has like a diary of the last 2 years, because we're doing it for about 2 years. So everybody has a diary, and then I'm sure if we look back, say, that's what I spent my time on. The women, okay, because they're spending their time on good things, usually, almost, with family, the kids. But the men, to whatever degree they write, you say, how do I spend the last, and we can look, we have a stickle record. So that's, and then the Musa Sforum that talk about a Cheshbon HaNefesh talk about keeping a daily pinkas of how you spent the day. Anyway, that classic meaning of Cheshbon HaNefesh is number 11. So that's pretty nerve-wracking. And number 12 is what we just learned, that to think about how we are so zoriz and eager. See, that's men have it harder. I have to tell you. Oh, I was about to say, you're eager to hear a new recipe for a kugel. But you hear a new pshat in the bracha, Boruch Aleinu, maybe not so much. Not the women here. But then I was thinking, if the approach to making a kugel is chesed, whether it's for your children or your husbands or for your family or for your next door neighbor, then it's really, again, it's about the Hashem. That's also spiritual. So it's a bad example. I apologize for the example. But why do men have it harder? Because they do. I'm always badgering them. Men have a mitzvah Talmud Torah. Everybody has a mitzvah of Tikkun Midos. That's very hard to do. Everybody has Musar and Bitachon and all the things we're learning about. That's gender free. So I always think men have it harder because there's this pressure of Talmud Torah. Okay, so that's number 12, working on improving your neshama. As much as you work on improving your guf. Now we're up to number 13. Number 13 is, as I said, that one sentence at the end of 12 about how Hashem's going to judge you based on your capabilities. I'm not sure, I understand why he threw it in the flow of his writing, because he wrote that, you should try to improve yourself and don't say, I'll be like everybody else, because that's a terrible thing to say. Now, in 13, he really elaborates on that idea. Hashlosha also cheshbonodim im nafsho b'yisron yidiyosu al ma'aseihu, how his actions do not match his knowledge. His actions are lagging behind. V'tosus hakaroso al hishtadluso ba'avodos habore. And his hishtadlus and avodos habore, he doesn't mean what we call hishtadlus, it means his efforts in avodos habore doesn't match up to his intellectual understanding of what he should be doing. V'hagos yecholto al meshu mishalem mechovos habore al tovos of olov. And his abilities
Magozicholto means what he's capable of doing doesn't match up with what he actually is doing. And now Chavidolova says, you know, he describes Avodas Hashem the way he always does, and that's the theme of the Chavis HaLovos. How he calls Avodas Hashem, Mishalei Mechovos Habore Al Tovosom Olov. Paying back HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being grateful, that's Avodas Hashem in the Chavis HaLovos' book. If there's one thing we know by now, it's that. So even when he casually is just talking about Avodas Hashem, that's how he likes to phrase it. Being Mishalei Mechovos Habore, his obligations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Tovos of Olov, for all the good that he has bestowed upon him. V'yimshol b'zeh moshol el eved. He says, well, let me tell you a moshol, a story. You know, I always like stories. Eved shenosom la'adonov adomo l'sroa. Ado gave an eved land to plant and to cultivate. V'nosom hazera kefitzarcho. And he gave him as many bushels or pounds or whatever of seed that he needed to seed the whole ground, the land, the plot of land. But the Zorav Kitzasa, the Eved only planted part of it. He only used up half the seeds to plant. V'hotzi sharav zera b'tzrochav, and the rest he either ate up or he sold it, and he whatever he did with the money, he squandered the money. He had a good time. Okay, now it's time. The Adon comes and he says, let's check out the field. Let me see the books. Let me see what's happening. Motza built these Roman clothes. He says, it's half fallow. He didn't even plant half of it. He says, I gave you 10 bushels of seeds and you only planted 5 of them. What happened here? What happened? Uchshashalo al zeh, hoda b'kitzuro b'nyana. He admits that he messed up. He admits that. Now the Melech not only, says the Chavis HaLovos, will make him pay back for the 5 bushels of seeds that he wasted, but he's going to have to pay back. The Melech's going to say, I could have, what could you have done? You could have planted the whole land and I would have had so much more, and you didn't. So forget that you have to pay me for the seeds. You have to reimburse me for all the profit I could have made. This is not a halachic point. Halacha, probably, you don't have to. But he's saying, the Melech is coming to the Eved, or the Adon is coming to the Eved, and he's saying, I'm going to make you pay me. You messed me up. You messed, in our case, in the Nimshol, which is obvious, we mess ourselves up. He left off, right? He's cheshbening what could have grown. Also, when you come to Shemayim, let's already talk about the Nimshol. So Shem's going to say, we don't want to hear it, but that's what he's going to say. You only planted half the field. So first of all, what do you do with the other half of the seeds? Right? A person uses very little of his brain power. When you read, again, I'll talk from the perspective of a man. When we read how the Gedolim put their feet in cold water and they stayed up and they learned and they learned and they learned and they napped and they learned, that's what a person is capable of. It's not, they didn't have any special kolchos to do that. They had the desire to do it and they felt, I have to use all the kolchos that Hashem gave me. If you get sick from it, obviously you don't do that. That means Hashem didn't give you those kolchos to use in a normal way. But the person always has to be nervous about, think about this mashal. Am I A, only using half the seeds that Hashem gave me? Whether the seeds is, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be seichel, brains. It could be leadership qualities. Person have leadership qualities. So what did I do with those qualities? Did I use it for good things, for mitzvahs, to galvanize people to do good things, organize shiurim, organize chesed, whatever, you know, whatever the case is. It doesn't have to be intelligence. It could be midos. Did I use it? Did I develop it? Did I cultivate it? And then there's a timer. This is very scary. It's a chiddush. Maybe it's not a chiddush. You have to answer for what you didn't do. Not only do you have to answer for the squandering, But you have to, Hashem shows you a movie and he says, and you say, ooh, who did all those great things? Hashem says, you. He said, but I didn't. He said, Hashem says, that's a problem. Why didn't you? This is the movie of what you could have done. So again, is this put pressure on a person? I guess so. But not undue pressure. Hashem does not demand of a person, because you can, you know, you drive yourself nuts also, and some people do. I mean, I deal, you know, people, not because you shouldn't take Klal Yisrael that seriously. Like someone will come to me and says, you know, I can't handle it. I'm going to, this happens. You know, I'm having a nervous breakdown. You know, Hashem's watching me and he's watching my motivation, and am I really performing up to my capabilities? Help. So the answer is not, don't take the Chavisal Bavas that seriously. The answer is that, first of all, you do what you're capable of doing. And certainly if you're at the breaking point, that's called you're not capable. So then pull back. It means you're not capable. Just because you're theoretically capable doesn't mean you are capable. Second of all, it's a process. It's Chavisal Bavas himself, with all of his insistence here, he says, everything's a ladder. He says, if you skip one step of the ladder, I promise you, you're going to fall down. It's like, I don't know if this is what I promise you, guaranteed you'll fall if you try to skip a rung, because you're such a rush to get to the top. He says, you're guaranteed to fall. It's like in the Shara Avodas Hashem. He says, Avodas Hashem is like a sulam, and you have to go rung by rung, and if you try to skip a rung, say that. So first of all, relax. And if you find yourself, being, feeling that way, then you're already doing more than you can. Because when we say what you can, it means what you can with a smile and a cheerfulness and not feeling pressured every minute. I mean, there's a good kind of pressure, you know, Yiras Hashem. You know, the word pressure, you know, what does it mean? If it means Shavisa Hashem Lenegdi Samid, so that's fine, that's good, but not in a way that, you know, renders you incapable of really functioning, of being happy, of being besimcha, of enjoying life, you know. But enjoying life again, you know, if enjoying life means according to Shar HaBechina, then it's wonderful. You walk around saying, look what Hashem gave me. Hashem gave me clouds, and Hashem gave me water, and Hashem gave me soda, and Hashem gave me a cup. And everything is from Hashem, and so you become very cheerful. You develop a cheerful attitude, a happy attitude. So it sounds, you know, again, under laboratory conditions, if this is all we're talking about, it sounds like you're going to get it if you didn't fill up your capabilities. But again, if it drives you nuts, then that's not called you can do it. That's for sure not called you can do it. Because you're supposed to be able to do it in a calm, smiling, collected, normal way. I'm from the old school. You know, pressure is a good thing. I'm not saying pressure is good, but and then you have your whole life to develop this. But he's talking. He wants you to know the truth is that you have to. You can't rest on your laurels. There's no such thing. That's what he's saying here. You have to keep working and growing as many years as Hashem gave you and as many kochos as Hashem gave you. And it's well known that in brain power, we certainly don't use more than a fraction of what we're capable of in brain power. But even in midos and everything, you know, we can develop ourselves. We have this vad Sunday nights. It's such a wonderful thing, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm not talking about the people that don't go because they're learning in other shiur, because I make everybody crazy. But it's not Hashem making you crazy; it's me. But sometimes I think, you know, the people that are not in other shiur, I don't know what they're doing, you know. But at least that, like, you can really develop your midos, develop avodas Hashem. Develop, you know, it's always very frustrating to me that there's 3-4 people sitting there with Rabbi Dolinsky. It's such a good thing to do. It's called the Vaad Musar, you know, and it's practical. I think I'm not sure because I use a different cipher. Bilvavi Mishkan Evne is also like a practical how-to book, how to carry out, you know, the midos that we theorize about and we learn about, how to put it into action in daily life. I have the sefer Cholvus Odom Bolamo. That's a wonderful sefer, and he's up to volume 10 already, and he has really it's a remarkable sefer. Different midos and how to implement them and how to judge if you're implementing them and how to grow week by week with a chart. And so that's what the Chavidah Lava says. But the point of number 13 is that at some point you're going to have to answer for it. The Chivo Leporo Kol Maisha Yisro Hadoma also, he made the servant pay for the profit he could have made. But Godol Matvehu is punishment for nichbul or also. V'chein ochi roi l'cholachshav v'nafshecha al-mashach anancha l'kim me'havanoscha also v'estor also. When Hashem granted you to understand about Hashem and about His Torah, about Hashem, His midos, like Toma Dvorah type thing, how, you know, the Yudim Mitzvah Rachman, how we can emulate Hashem. And Hashem gave you the seeds, He gave you the strength, He gave you the health, He gave you the brains, the character, the midos, lifroa mashatachaitlo. We owe Hashem a thank you. And He told us what He wants us to do to say thank you. There's a Torah written. In Sharaf Odus Alokim, He tries to train us how to figure out on our own. Also, in addition to what the Torah told us, because the Torah doesn't really say all that much, and most of our actions throughout the day is what we do. So we have to get a clear picture of what Hashem wants from us. Do what you can, as much as you can, and make believe or imagine. Hashem has an accounting. Hashem has a ledger. Ubo a lovely day chesed. With your koyches, every person has their own ledger with the seeds, the amount of seeds, and the type of seeds that they were given. Koshkein, Eisi Moshe Hatovus Eilecho Me Eisa Borei. Again, especially when you think about what you got from Hashem, what He did for you, from when you were a little child up now, you have houses, families, children, all the things that you have. To pay Him back, how will we pay back Hashem? By being grateful, by acknowledgement. And match up. That's how the Cheshbon started off. Match up what you know about Hashem, about your obligations to Him. Your actions should match up to that. Push up your tircha, your actions, to match what you know. Again, don't spend your kolchos on mosros, because you have obligations to fulfill. Until l'shalim chovos torasecha, here you are chasing optional things, not even needs of olam hazeh, but optional things. And meanwhile, you have obligations that you have to fulfill. Shakel yistalim nosam odem nakoach kefit sarchol l'toros olam. Hashem gave you the capabilities. That's a given. Hashem gave you the capabilities of performing your obligations. There's no question about that. No one gets shortchanged. No one gets sent out into the world with less capabilities than they need to fulfill their obligations. But if you spend, well, that person is very, anything, smart or charismatic or
very curious and has a great thirst for knowledge. So if you spend some of it, the most routes, with things that are ultimately temporal, some things you don't need, you wasted the seeds. You wasted the seeds on things that are not important, that are not essential. And what about these things you were supposed to do with them? Va'al titz le'atzmucha. Now he's like a little funny, like mocking almost. I don't know how you have it in the print. Va'al titz le'atzmucha be'lu ve'ulai. I don't want to hear those words from you, he says. If only I had this one's seichel. If only I had that one's money. If only I had that one's... If only I was born into a family like that person was born into. If only I had... anything in their lives. You know, people always look at other people and say, I would be as good as him or as good as her if I only had... if I had her husband. You think her husband takes out the garbage and yours doesn't. I got news for you. Maybe your husband takes out the garbage, but you don't see that he leaves the socks on the floor. And your husband doesn't leave the socks on the floor. So everybody's looking and saying, if only I had that one's... And people do this, unfortunately. People unfortunately do this. If only I had that one's spouse, or that one's family, or that one's in-laws, or that one's apartment, or that one's... if only I came from that one's background. And that's what the Chavit HaBavli says. I don't want to hear this. This is terrible. This is a terrible thing to say. Hashem created each neshama as a unique neshama, and the story of your life is the story of your neshama. And that's what you're supposed to do. Right? It's a silly saying, and we always say it, right? If it would have been a colder, it would have snowed. Right? But it wasn't supposed to snow, so it wasn't colder. So it's like a silly sentence. But we say it anyway, you know? We say it. So, you know, it says, I don't want to hear if only. Lu, ulai. Louis Gatti Lamailus Kachma Kachman Amoman Bahachma. Boy, if I had his money, he was Yorishit from his grandfather. If only I had that money. Bahachma, he's naturally more intelligent than I am. Hayisa Mishalim Koman and Shechayiv and Avoda Labore. I would be such a good person. I would be giving stuff all over the place. I would be sitting and learning. I would be, I would really be grateful to Hashem. And but what about now? Right? And included in this is people push off things. But it says in Pirkei Avos, Al Tomalech She'efne Eshne. Right? When I retire, that's when I'll be able to do things. Right? Now you never know if you'll get the retirement age or not. Right? You're all young still. Nobody's at retirement age yet. I don't know where we're waiting to retire from. They're untruths. They have no basis in fact. It's just a dream. It's just the Yetzer Hara. It's just an excuse. It's nothing. It has no basis. If you lean on that as a crutch, you say, listen, I know I didn't, I didn't finish Shas yet. I don't involve myself in Tzorchei Tzibur enough. But, you know, I have these pressures. If only I had cleaning help like that lady does. Ah, she has help coming in twice a week. No wonder she can do chesed. Now, maybe it's true. Maybe it's true. You can't do chesed because then you work in your house. That's chesed too. Don't forget that. It's also chesed. But don't use it as an excuse. Right? So you have to probe if it's true or not. If that's the reason you're not doing what you're really capable of doing, and every time you get asked to do something, you say no almost automatically, and then you say, because I don't have any cleaning up. Like, you know, you ever stop and think, maybe you could do it. Divrei Kuzavim, it's untruths. If you rely on these things, if you lean on these excuses, you're going to fall. He talks later in the end of Shara HaBitachon. He has a whole chapter on people that he calls Pale Mashkon. They want security. They tell Hashem, you go first. You give me the money I need.
You give me the children I want. You give me everything I want and I need. And then I'll serve you. They want first security that Hashem's going to come through. And that's, he says, that's a mindset people have. That, you know, they turned over the microscope. They're looking through the wrong end. And they want Hashem to prove himself first. And then they'll serve him. So that's what they're saying. Asher zocharti lecha b'shar ha-bitochon. Hishom lecha. Be very, very careful you don't fall into this trap. Pentik ochena l'tayna loch. You'll start believing it. Because you look around and you say, oh yeah, I have such sorrows in my life. Look at those people. They don't have any sorrows. And I have this and I have that. And they have money and they have in-laws. And they're going to America twice a year. And you start thinking. You don't mean to be jealous and to be over low sachmal, but you use it as an excuse why you're not performing as much as you're able to perform in Ruchnius. Sometimes it's true. I'm not condemning the thought itself. Sometimes it's true, because a person's first responsibility is to do what they have to do, whether it's in the house or a man in terms of a job and earning parnosa. So that taka comes first. So if he looks wistfully at someone else, so then, you know, I can understand that. That's not what Chavi Lovitz is talking about. It's also not good, because also every person has his own. But if he hasn't, but if he uses it as an excuse, you know, why aren't you kaveitim the Torah? Learn at least a half hour in the morning, a half hour at night, which is a little. Sorry, a little. So if that's all you can do, fine. But if, how come you're not even doing that? Well, yeah, big talk. Like, I have to work and struggle, and look at these guys. So that, don't look at other people, and don't, you know, look at yourself and see if you're performing up to your capabilities. Maybe you are, maybe you are. There's no objective, I'm saying it cuts both ways. There's no objective standard. No one, the Hashem's measuring rod is not how much of Shas did you finish? It's how much of Shas were you capable of finishing? And how many seeds did you plant? Right? How many seeds did I give you? And how many seeds did I plant? The image is beautiful. Not only will you have to answer for the seeds you squandered, but you will have to answer for the field that's uncultivated, because you didn't plant the seeds in it. Hashem says, where's my field? Look at this beautiful field you could have given me. And you're giving me a half a field. Hayitochen. So this is Cheshbon number 13. That's get online with everybody else with these excuses. This is not a good excuse. Thank you very much. I brought one with me. That's what happened. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That's Uncle Moishi. I'm a Ratsim. They don't know Uncle Moishi. Ay, ay, ay. Uncle Moishi is very old fashioned. Now it's Marvelous Meadows Machine. It's not even that anymore. Now it's Salshella's Junior. I'm not a big fan of that. So he says, "Kamo shomer shlomo alav shalom al ganav lo yibusal ganav ki yignav lomale nafsho ki yirov v'nimtzu yishalem shivasoyim." Lamaisa, if someone steals because he has to, so people do, you know, if he's starving, so people don't think badly of him. But v'nimtzu, but if they catch him, Yishalem Shiva Sayyim, they make him pay. Abu Bisha Dochko Nira. The Tzarko of Yilakachas Momanachayim. Lo Yinotum Zemanoin Shashumi Kethel. Koshkein Sharkatom. You know, your excuses won't cut it. Bifnei Hashem. We have a few lines left, but I'm sorry, because I have to have a minute at 1 o'clock.